morning. Can you hear me back there? All right, amen. It sounds good, yeah? All right, amen. That's what we want to hear. Well, I'm excited that I can be back here this week. It's rarely that I could speak 2 weeks in a row, but I'm excited to be here. And last week, as we were talking about reaching our loved ones and then working together as the body of Christ to have an influence on individuals that are part of our body, their families and their friends, in a way that would be effective, I thought about how God invests in us as His children and what he does and how He does it. Because He has some expectations for us, and He has expectations based on Him investing in our lives. He redeems us and He takes us to a place that we begin to have some responsibilities. And he does it based on the giftedness that He has gifted us with. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn to Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts him with his wealth. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And the man who received 5 bags of gold went out at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That passage of Scripture, when I first got saved, I remember reading that for the first time and thought, what in the world is that talking about? Over the years, in study, in actually being part of the church, watching the lives of so many different people, I realized there's some messages here that are giant. The reality that each one was given according to their giftedness, each one was to invest and accomplish something within reason, but something was required. Burying it in the ground isn't one of those investments that are going to be worth anything other than just standing in the same place. And as is with our walk with the Lord, as we're trying to accomplish what God's called us to, we never stay in one place. We never put ourselves or position ourselves where there is no gain on God's investment. So as we press forward to realize that at some point in time, we come to the place to give account for what God has given us. Opportunities, all the different things that in our life can actually produce unbelievable returns for God's kingdom. Guys, and I'm not talking about financial resources. I'm talking about God using in us and being able to accomplish amazing things in and through us when we're willing to allow Him for us to be used as an investment into the lives of others. When we allow Him the freedom to work in and through our lives. 1 Thessalonians in the second chapter, verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. I really like that. He's entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted us with it. He's entrusted us with something that Jesus paid the ultimate price to pay the penalty for the sins of every living human being on this planet if they call upon His name. And He's put us in the place to be investing in others' lives based on what Christ has already accomplished. There's a word here, dogmazo, in the Greek is the word for test. And I thought it was interesting. Because we do a devotion every morning with our guys, and we like to look at words that really impact our life. If you get a broader perspective, broader perspective of what's really being said, if we can understand in great detail and maybe be able to invest our lives for God based on being equipped with what He gives us in His Word. And sometimes there's words that we miss in our English language that we can't see the multiple levels of dimension that is really there. This is one right here where is amazing. That word for test at a period of time was a measurement of for somebody with a public office, where they would watch their life for a period of time so that they could identify clearly who the individual was in their personality, the characteristics of the way they conducted themselves, could be identified over a period of time. So in fact, they were tested, if you will, to be able to see who the real character is. Much like, you realize the Bible says to us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our character is identified a lot of times when we're squeezed a little bit, or when different circumstances of life that require a character of integrity, that when that happens, when those opportunities arise, we see who we're really dealing with. But another way that word was used was in the refining of metals. And sometimes when you would refine metal, when a blacksmith would be working and they would bring the metal to high temperatures, they would work with this tool and they would scrape the top off the metals. And they would work aside all the impurities that were there. And they would keep going and keep going with that until the point where the blacksmith or the one working that would eventually see their own image clearly and undistorted. And that's interesting because I've heard that so many times where we think of it as that God's going to keep refining us. He's going to bring us to this high heat until such a time that He sees an accurate image of Jesus. Well, that would be rather presumptuous of us to think that if we could just burn off the things in our character that are unbecoming, that we would be Jesus-like. Because you understand there has to be, at some point, we have to put on something. When you take out the ugliness of our human heart, something has to be added for us to look like Jesus. When you think of things like Jesus, the character of Christ, who, being the very form of God, did not see equality with God, something to be grasped for his own benefit. So for us, a lot of times when we see opportunity, we don't move in a direction that accomplishes God's purpose as much as accomplishes our own best interests. And then we season it with a little God. But there's another process that is here. Another process, and I thought it was really interesting. It's in ceramics or porcelain. And their porcelain is actually more pure than ceramic. And they fire them to put the finish on. And something that I didn't realize is that in that process, they can do multiple firings. Multiple fire. I thought it was like a kiln. You put it in there and it gets cured and then you're done. No. They would take these fine porcelains and they would do the artwork on it and they would fire it. And then it would cool, and they would add a dimension to it, and then they would fire it. It's been said that they've gone up to 20 times in the kiln, being refired to add these multiple layers and dimensions of beauty to a very delicate piece. And I thought, how fitting when you put that all together and you come up with something that shows the integrity of our character based on circumstances. So it doesn't matter exactly what you're going through or what the circumstances around you look like, that you're going to be the same individual of integrity in every circumstance. And that in the result, as a result of us understanding that God wants to work in and through our lives, that he's working and he's doing in us amazing things. And as we identify those things, as James said, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer. We understand that when we look into the mirror and we see something that needs adjustment, we better get a rag out and wipe it off. And as the refiner scrapes off these things in our life, and he continually moves us in a direction so that the ugliness of our heart is not seen by this world. So externally, they begin to see something that looks like Christ. But then he says, listen, no matter how I polish you, you're still you. You hear what I'm saying? We can take off the ugliness, cut off the rough edges, but you're still you. But to come to a place that you begin to look like Jesus, you have to understand that the attributes of Christ that we see lived out in the pages of Scripture is a picture of beauty of multi-dimensions in a way that we can't comprehend. But each one of those things, when we think of the trials that we go through, we get uptight when we have to be fired again through a process in our life. The problem is, you know, there's a part in this curing process that's crazy. That you can do multiple layers of firing and add more dimensions of beauty, but you can't go hotter than you did the first time, or you'll destroy the beginning. And I think about so many times that God is trying to refine our character and add dimensions to who we are. And we don't realize that everything that he's doing is to accomplish a greater purpose. Everything. God is good all the time. Amen? Even in the times that we don't understand. Even in the circumstances that we're wondering, where the heck are you? But in reality, as he's adding dimensions to our character over many years, there's individuals that are observing us as redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and they're watching our lives, and they're seeing how willing we are to have those things skimmed off when they're identified, and then added on to in dimensions of Christ-like character as we take on these things and become more Christ-like. But we can ruin that image very easily with reckless words, with an attitude that gets angry with God in the midst of the things that are going on in our lives. We can have all sorts of attitudes that go in the opposite direction of making an image of Jesus be displayed before a lost world. We got a tall order in front of us that God wants to accomplish in and through each one of our lives. But in the story of the talents, each one was given, and he had expectation based on the giftedness that he gave them, based on the investment that is a reality. And I can't help but look at the individuals in my life that have made the most profound impact. And they were individuals that had a characteristic about them that was Christ-like, a character that would not stop. You know, it's crazy, but there's some simple things in your life maybe you wouldn't even realize that would have an impact on someone else, but they're watching. They're watching. And certain things that people do or say that'll be applied to somebody else's life that'll take them a long way down the road. When you think in the church today of how many people sit in the church on a Sunday morning, and each life represents another level of influence in this world. Each life represents an opportunity that God has given us to make a difference. We have our friend in New York, Jerry. And here's a man who displayed before us as we watched his life over years. From my earliest encounter when I first got saved, and he invested in my life by just giving me some absolutes. Some things that to this day I share with guys that live in our men's house and that we deal with. Telling me things like, took me on the road when I went to visit my brother, that put me into a car and took me to Boston from Syracuse, New York, to an auction with a guy I'd never met in my life. And the whole time he just talked about what God wanted to do in my life. Told me about, listen, if you're on the highway and you're moving in one direction and you want to make a change, you got to get off and go in another direction. You can't ride the clover leaves and come right back to where you are and expect anything different. Things like that. Things like explaining that his exercise, and the man, he says, I wear the same size pants that I wore when I was in high school. And he says, well, I row on a rowing machine for an hour every morning, and I do 100 sit-ups every morning. I said, really? What about if you're sick or you're out of town or whatever? He said, listen. He said, I do it every day. He said, because no excuse is good enough. Because if any excuse is good enough, any excuse will do. Stuff like that. Stuff that can be illuminated out of our life, that can be spoken to somebody else's life, and that it'll make a profound difference. But it's we've been layered ourselves when we allow God to put the character of Christ invested into us through the firing of the process, where we take our flesh and surrender it to what he wants to do so that our spirit would grow dimensionally. And others would be influenced largely to realize that each one of us, every single day, has an opportunity to be investing for God's kingdom. And to understand the things that he brings us to, there's a purpose behind it. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Folks, I have to tell you, the evidence of Christ in our life ought to probe the very core of your being into movement, motivation to accomplish something that he died for. There ought to be a time that you're so deeply driven that you can understand the attitude and the character of Jesus because you sense it so deeply in our brokenness. But I have to tell you, folks, listen. Acknowledging and saying amen when the Spirit of God convicts ourselves, that's one thing. Action is another. where we actually allow the firing process. I can allow the master to begin to paint different dimensions to my character, but soon as he removes me over here into the kiln where I'm going to be fired, I start wiggling. And I don't want anything to do with it. And the image is distorted. And it's not accurate. And the problem is when we live that way, that there becomes layers and layers and layers of our resistance being built up on. The reality of it is we got to come to the point to say, Father, start over in me. Take me. Take me and fire me at the whatever temperature it takes. And begin to add the dimensions of Christ. And, oh, and Father, would you help me? Would you help me to die daily so that that character can be matured to the place, God, that when I stand face to face, I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Test our hearts. Make sure that we're in Christ and that we haven't moved so far away from him that we can't hear his voice any longer. That the attitudes of our own heart create a roadblock, create a wall that buffets the voice of our Lord. God wants to accomplish amazing things. He wants to do it with all of his children, to accomplish and do in this world while we still have time. He wants us to be the ones that make that a reality. So it's up to us. It's up to us to surrender and allow him the freedom. In James, in the first chapter, verse 2 and following says, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face, here's that word again, trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, lest perseverance finish his work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider pure joy when you're being rolled into the fire. Consider pure joy because you know the trying of your faith develops perseverance, the ability to go on the journey longer, the ability to take on the attributes of Jesus, the ability to receive hard teaching. The ability to say no to our flesh and yes to his spirit. The ability to go on roads that we would have never traveled in our wildest imaginations. And that we would travel on them roads with an attitude that is illuminating the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd lift him high. But it's contrary to who we are. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It doesn't happen by accident. None of this happens by accident. It's when we submit ourselves to the potter, when we submit ourselves to our master and allow him to do with us what he wants to do. It means literally deleting anything that we have in our mind as to the direction that we're going based on our own desires. And telling him sincerely and truly, Lord, I want you to take off the dimensions of character that you began to speak to me, and I heard a little bit of it, and then I added myself to it. Or I heard a little bit of it and said, no way. Or I heard a little bit of it and I just didn't act, but I was well intended. See, God wants to do something with us, but we have to come to the point in the reality of our lives to just lay with our face down on the ground and say, God, use me. Allow this world to see through this individual and see the Jesus in me so that he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And folks, I'm telling you, there is no better way for those in this world who need Jesus to get an accurate picture than a life surrendered to him. A life surrendered that will allow him to add those dimensions. Last week we were talking about how difficult it is to reach our friends and family. And as the scripture says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own land. But let me just tell you something. You know what the crazy thing is? Is that I've got people that I've been dealing with for many, many years. And it's become very, very real to me, what I'm about to tell you, is that a lot of the circumstances in our life, the people are so quick to just come to a conclusion about who we are or who you are or what any one of us is all about. They determine that on their own. And you know what? It's very difficult for you to have an encounter with somebody that's already established a negative idea of who you are or who God is based on who you are. It's very difficult to do that with words. But I've learned something over many years. A consistent character, just being in there every day, waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, before I put these feet on the ground, take control of this mess. God, help me to hear your still, quiet voice in the midst of the craziness of what's getting ready to unfold in the course of this day. To have a willingness to say, God, I'm going to give you the opportunity to add dimensions to my character because I'm going to give you time every day that I'm going to apply your word into my life. I'm going to open it up freely and willingly, and I'm going to lay myself on the altar of sacrifice and say, now speak to me with that word. And God, you do whatever you need to do with my character to accomplish your purpose. With the humility that comes from the reality of how desperate we need Christ every day. Listen, folks, we go through life and we get moving along and we forget how desperately we need him. We actually think that we've made it and we've accomplished something. We throw the towel in on the whole deal and we just move along knowing that we've got a stamp ticket to heaven and Jesus paid for it. But the reality is, he says, listen, you don't understand. There's a day of reckoning coming. I've given you these opportunities. They're there right now. The Bible says he prepared a work in advance for us to do, whether we recognize it or not. Meaning the stage is set, everything is in place, and all we have to be is the actor that steps out on the platform, and he'll accomplish it. But guess what? He does it his way. And just as people take on opinions of who we are based on what they can see from a distance, how important do you think it is to allow the Lord to add dimensions to who we are as he works through the trials and the circumstances of life? Folks, we just find any reason to reward ourselves. If we had a hard day, well, I need to reward myself with some ice cream. I've had a hard time with this, well, you know, then I just need to go out and do this. Well, I've had a hard time here, or, you know, these people are so unreasonable at work, and then justification of circumstance. I just had to yell at them because they were way out of line. You know, it's really crazy. But when you watch people who love Jesus and submit themselves to this layering effect, the unbelievable things that happen in their presence. I have a friend over at Hands of Hope, and it's Woody, he's the guy that the Lord called him in the 70s to use his trucking business to help people in need with food. And it's great because his personality is always the same, and he speaks the same way always. It's all about Jesus, and it never changes, no matter what's happening. And I was out over there one time, and I did a devotion with the people that were there and picking up food. And one of his guys that works in the warehouse came up and said, hey, listen, this lady came over. She was trying to cut the tag off one of the trailers to break into one of the semi-trucks. And I told her to get out of here and never come back or I'll call the police. And immediately Woody said, you should have told her to come with me and brought her here and we would have told her how Jesus loves her. You hear what I'm saying? Folks, God prepared a work in advance for us to do. And either we're going to step into that picture and look like Jesus, or we're going to step into that picture and look like the one he redeemed before we were redeemed. We miss opportunities to show grace and mercy all the time. We miss the ability in our lives to allow Christ the freedom to add dimensions to our character. But all of it comes to a place where we have to submit to his authority, all of it. We have to literally take the scriptures for what they say. Consider it pure joy when you go through these things. Consider it pure joy. Because why? Because God is doing something in you. He's adding dimensions to your character. He's preparing you for a work that's waiting for you down the road. He already has it prepared. You haven't arrived yet. You need to get ready. You have to allow him the freedom to work in and through your life. Are you with me? See, I struggle with this all the time, guys. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with it because every day God has something he wants to accomplish. And you have to come to terms. Is this going to be about me or is this going to be about him? Every day. Every day, multiple times a day. Every hour, multiple times an hour. The flesh tries to rear up with a response to God's answer. It's going to give you the easy road every time. Hey, listen, have you considered the bypass? Have you considered skipping this deal and just doing this? And we're programmed in this society that we live that it's always just the easy. What's the easiest thing I can do here? Not at all. When you hear and you see the characters of individuals who have done great things for the Lord, it's always because they operate in the realm of excellence. They operate in the realm that says that I will confront my flesh every time it rears its ugly head. It will be met with a force that says, it dies here. And God's purpose is going to move forward. Are you hearing me? Who is it out there in this world right now that needs to see the dimensions of Jesus live through your life? Who is it? Are they seeing him? Is there something maybe we need to do business with God today with to say, listen, I think I've got some layered dimensions in here that you told me something and I didn't do it. I partially did it, but I layered it with my own attitudes and ideas. And as a result, as I'm being displayed out there, Lord, I don't look like you. I look like me. I want to change that. I want to change the condition of a heart that would dig their heels in and say, I'm going to do it my way. To the readiness to say, I'm ready for the road to Calvary, Lord, if that's what you're calling for. Where are you? What is it that God wants to do today in your life? Are you ready? Because, folks, I got to tell you, as I was thinking about preparing this message and looking at my life, and this multidimensional idea was rolling through my head as I could see it, as it's the picture that is seen in this porcelain layering. Man, I know there's layers deep down that don't look like Jesus. There's some areas that I just blatantly said, I am not doing that. And for that, I am deeply remorse today. But I'm at a place, and I'm telling you right now, that I want God to take those, remove those, and to begin to layer. Are you with me? Sheriff, you'd come up. In this time of invitation today, last week we prayed together for loved ones. We turned in cards so that the staff and our outreach team could get involved in trying to reach these people. And we understand that the ones that are the closest to us, they've seen us for a long time, so they don't want to hear anything because they think we're hypocrites. But we've committed that we're gonna go out there and we're going to try to reach those people, partner with you, and get the job done. But how many of you would commit today to say, God, I'm going to allow you to layer the image of Jesus into who I am, into the fabric of my character, so that those same people who won't listen to you today may come to you tomorrow? Are you with me? As Sherry plays, allow God the freedom to accomplish what he set forth to do this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. It's amazing. God, it's amazing. God, as I know that you refine us and you promised us in your word that he that began that good work, he is faithful to bring it to completion. God, we know that. We don't want to wrestle with you anymore. God, we want to press forward to accomplish your purpose. We want you to scrape off the ugliness of this wicked heart, and that you would add dimensions of Jesus that this world would see from a distance and be intrigued. God, would you do a work here this morning? Thank you for the opportunity to represent you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you are glorified and honored. As the music plays, would you come?